Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for September 7th, 2007. This week, we'll tell you how doctors are using light to test children for brain injuries, and we'll answer a listener's question about which kind of trees are better at cooling the planet. But first, Suzanne Bard has a story about some crows that are using tools in amazing ways.
Scientists used to think that only humans use tools, but evidence from a variety of animals, including chimpanzees, dolphins, and birds, suggests otherwise. And it turns out that crows from the South Pacific island of New Caledonia may be the premier toolmakers of them all. The birds make three different kinds of tools to help them get food. In a recent experiment, evolutionary psychologist Russell Gray and his colleagues at the University of Auckland in New Zealand hid a piece of meat in a box. They provided the birds with a stick that was too short to reach the food, but could be used to retrieve a longer stick from a cage. On the very first try, 85% of the birds solved the puzzle and got the food.
What the crows did was the first time they encountered this problem, 6 out of 7 of them did the right thing. They took the short stick, used it to get the long stick, and then took the long stick to the hole.
Instead of using trial and error, Gray says the crows engaged in a higher level of reasoning to obtain the food, a mental feat that rivals even the great apes.
Thanks, Suzanne. Most of the world's best-known volcanoes are on land, like Mount St. Helens in Washington State and Mount Vesuvius in Italy. But many volcanoes are completely underwater. According to British geophysicist John Hillier of Cambridge University and Tony Watts of Oxford, up to 3 million underwater volcanoes may dot the ocean floor. Hillier says they sifted through decades of sonar data from research ships and counted over 200,000 volcanic peaks that are at least 100 meters high.
In previous studies, people had taken quite a small area and only counted a few hundred, up to 1,000 maybe, of the small volcanoes.
Although the ship's routes totaled nearly 25 million miles, Hillier and Watts still had to extrapolate the data to places the ships had never sailed. The findings could help explain not only the workings of the inner Earth, but also the flow of nutrients through the ocean, which affects where marine life congregates. Next, Justin Warner's here to tell us why repeating yourself over and over again may just help you get your way.
Whenever we act on behalf of a group, whether it's picking a health plan for a company or pizza toppings for a party, we usually try to factor in the group's opinion. But a series of experiments by Virginia Tech marketing professor Kim Weaver and her colleagues suggests that we should proceed with caution in assessing what those opinions are. Across the board, Weaver's team found that hearing one person repeat the same opinion is almost as influential as hearing it from several different people. She says the effect was strongest in people who had no prior knowledge of the group's general preferences, yet these people weren't simply misremembering who said what.
Opinion repetition in those cases increases the familiarity of the opinion, and people use that feeling of familiarity to make inferences about how many group members support the opinion.
But suppose you did have prior knowledge of the group's opinion, for example, that most people in your book club like mysteries, and then you heard one person repeatedly contradict it. According to Weaver's research, you wouldn't be swayed immediately, but sometime after the incident, you might unconsciously give undue weight to that lone mystery hater. Weaver says the repetition effect can potentially bias our own opinions as well, since we often take cues from whatever we perceive to be the general consensus.
Especially in cases where we aren't sure what to think ourselves. For example, is the housing market going to decline further? Is that hurricane caused by global warming? When there's no clear answer, our conclusions are often influenced by what other people think about the topic.
She suggests that decision makers should rely on systematic surveys rather than general impressions to gauge a group's opinion.
Thanks, Justin. Brain imaging devices can be noisy and scary to an infant or young child. Now researchers report in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that they've developed a new method that uses silent and harmless beams of infrared light emitted by a stretchy cap that a baby can wear. By analyzing the light as it scatters back, the device can map blood flow to different brain regions. In other brain research news, scientists writing in the Journal of Neural Engineering describe a quick and painless new way to diagnose a variety of brain diseases, from Alzheimer's to chronic alcoholism. Patients stare at a spot of light as an MEG, or magnetoencephalography device, measures their brain's magnetic fields every millisecond. The method correctly identified all the disorders, as well as healthy volunteers. Next, Suzanne answers a listener's question.
Listener Ginger Merrill of Issaquah, Washington, wrote to ask which kinds of trees are more efficient at absorbing CO2, deciduous trees or conifers. We turn to climate scientist Ken Caldera of the Carnegie Institution.
For trees of the same size, deciduous trees like oaks tend to absorb about 50% more carbon than a conifer, like a pine tree.
That's because deciduous trees have denser wood than conifers and need that extra carbon to maintain their structure. Caldera adds that where you plant a tree also affects its planet cooling potential.
Tropical forests are doubly cooling. They cool once by absorbing the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and cool a second time by creating clouds that reflect the sun's warming rays back to space.
He says that's one of the reasons why preserving the tropical rainforest is so important for maintaining a stable climate. If you have a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use it, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all for this week. Next week, we'll tell you how a new diet for chickens is helping the environment and reveal the unexpected source of the antibiotics of the future. In the meantime, tune in to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. It's your one-minute science break every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.